G'day everybody. Welcome to our morning live talk. Sorry, I'm a bit late on the live talk. I've been very busy on a 6 day intensive clinic which we run here at Mudgee. So intensive in clinics, people come and they ride for that. I ride the horses or work the horses for 3 days, and then we have a rest day, and then they come on board and work their own horses. So yeah, we had a really interesting range of horses, and it was really exciting clinic. So very enjoyable to see the changes in the horses and you know, the understanding in the people, and a lot of people, you know, going home feeling like they can sort of move along with their horses. So yeah, it's a good feeling, and I feel very privileged to be able to help people and their horses. It's that's why I guess I enjoy what I'm doing. But yeah, it was really nice. Good to have people in the house, and very, very enjoyable. So, all right, I've got a lot of questions now. Just today I'm going to have to finish up in an hour due to some other commitments. So I'm going to get through as many questions as I can, but I do apologise if I don't get to everybody's question. I would like to, and you know what, that's something I sort of try and do all the time. But yeah, I'm going to have to just keep it to an hour. So I'm going to get into the questions and see how we go. First one's from Tony. Hi Mark, I have a question about aggression. I have a 16-year-old gelding that is permanently lame. He has always liked to intimidate people if he knows he can. Over the last 6 months or so, he has gotten worse to the point he tried to bite and kick my daughter while she was scratching her mare. He is now on his own, and for the first time yesterday, he pinned his ears and shook his head at me. Then he came back and wanted my attention. It's almost like he's bipolar. He hates education, which is my fault, and the fact that he's not been rideable makes it hard. People tell me to put him down because he will hurt someone, which is not far from the truth. I'm really stuck about how to approach this. Thanks, Tony. Aggression in horses, you know, if you watch a mob of horses, you see some horses are prone to being a little bit more just aggressive than others. You know, they kind of, they're in that frame of mind in the herd, and aggression's an interesting thing, and a lot of people sort of would say, you know, maybe just come in and be dominant. Now, dominance is an interesting thing in itself. Is the hardest thing is you know, understanding how to be strong and have personal boundaries with horses without coming in like another alpha horse. Because if you come in like another alpha horse, obviously you're going to cause a fair bit of aggression in the other horse. So what you sort of said in there that education is along the way, education has also been one of the things that possibly is damaged the relationship or caused him to be a little dominant and sour around people. Now, I'm not even going to go into the bipolar side of it and why he kind of like was good, like he kind of wanted to be dominant and then he wanted your attention. So basically, when there's a certain amount of anxiety in a horse and there's a mistrust in people, they're going to be aggressive. Some will be nervous and just sort of, you know, just want to be out of there. So with an aggressive, like before, what causes aggression, what I see what causes a lot of aggression around people is firstly the lack of clarity that we provide and us trying to sort of match the horse's aggression with an aggressive type behaviour, but not being centred enough to prove that we're strong. So what I would say is, how are you around him? How centred are you? Be very centred. And show him that, you know, I guess what's happening is trying to explain it. When I say be a tree, a lot of people are a little bit like a sapling around their horses. So, you know, the horse moves its head a little wee shift like that. The horse shifts a little wee step a little like that. And they actually feel that body language happening, that they're going, oh, hang on a minute. They're a little bit, I'm moving them a little bit unbeknownst to them. And it's only slight little things that makes us feel a little insecure around our horse, possibly a little jumpy sometimes and things like that. And the horse feels that and sees that, and that's what they kind of see and understand all the time. And then we come in and sort of say, hey, get out of my space. I'm strong and I'm an alpha horse. And we try and carry that alpha horse thing. So we might have a stick or a flag or something and a wavy rope, and we get pushy on them and we say, get back, get out of my space, or do this. But then that's like us having, when we've got a gun, we feel brave, but when we don't, we're still a little bit fragile around our horses. And that will keep aggressive behavior in a horse for a long time, purely because the horse feels our weakness. And then we try to not be weak by being a bit of a bully. So trying to be a bully but not being centered can cause the horse going, you can't carry that. And I'm starting to get a bit, I've had enough of this. That is one thing that causes aggressive behavior in horses. So something I would do to him is I wouldn't educate him on the ground for a little while. I wouldn't teach him to do stuff until you kind of really know how to tap into him and educate him in a way that makes him feel okay about learning new things. And since he's lame, I think the only thing that you really want to be doing is getting him soft around you and your kids, and your daughter. So I'd just, next time you go in with him, just have him in an area that, a yard or something, and just observe him a little and observe his personal bubble and respect it. So when you walk up to him and he gets a little tight and a bit funny, he gets a funny look, just experiment. Now, why I say experiment is because if he's learnt that I sometimes can be a little aggressive and I shift people just a little, then maybe he might try that. So there'll be two expressions. There'll be like a hard expression that looks angry, and you kind of know that expression with him, I'm hoping. And there'll be another expression, which is the expression he might get before he gets angry, which is a bit of a, here they come kind of thing. I'm a bit wary. I've noticed them, Maybe that could be just him noticing you. So maybe just sort of when you see him notice you, just step away a little, see what happens. If you miss that and you just go straight to an aggressive expression, don't walk in any further when he's aggressive. Just stop, but don't step back. And just stand and just breathe out and relax. Like, relax. And in your mind, every time you see that, aggression, just think to yourself, I've been here for 1,000 years. I just try and make a thought in my head that makes me feel kind and strong, and it could be, I'm a big tree, there's no floods that ever washed me down, I've been here shading all the animals for a long, long time, and I just kind of do that, and I don't let it bother me, I don't let it kind of eat into me, I just kind of try and be very neutral. And he'll stand there and he'll do that, and then he might soften, and if you see him just soften in his expression, that's when you might step back and just do something different, walk off, and just work on that for a little while until maybe he starts to get a little bit more, she's okay. So if he's, sometimes you can walk away when they have an aggressive look, but some, like, step back off them. But some horses, depending on how they're being aggressive, they might think that they've actually stepped you back if you did that. So that's why I'd say I'd hold and I'd just strengthen. And then when I see him soften in his expression, so he goes from a hard expression to a softer expression, then I'd step back for the soft expression and just try that sort of thing when I'm approaching him in a respectful way. Okay, the other thing is, I say to people, like, I have a flag or something like that. Now, it's going to be hard if education's kind of made him worried, because if you had a flag, you might think, oh, she's going to do something to me that makes me anxious, and I'm going to challenge that, because education used to be me feeling like I'm getting pushed away down the pecking order, and I don't like that. So, but if you use a flag or anything like that to reset his thoughts, just be careful that might happen. But basically, when you get a little closer to him and he starts, if you missed the opportunity, say for instance, if you're around him and you missed the opportunity to walk up to him in a calm way, so that's one way of sort of stepping up, and that's the way you'll be around him all the time, be a bit more aware of his his personal space, and be strong in yours. The next thing I'd start to think about is, if you were in there and suddenly he had a hard thought, an aggressive thought, and this is going to be the hardest thing, is you change it, okay? But you don't change it and get aggressive on him. That's I guess the key to it. So if I got a horse or someone at a clinic that their horse suddenly goes and gets a hard thought when they're reasonably close, then I just might, you know, slap my leg really hard, make a clapping sound or something that just makes that horse go, what was that? And it shakes that thought out and they go, okay. And you might see that hard expression turn into a what was that. Now, because you stayed calm and centered in the way you're standing, the horse is still looking at you going, you're still pretty quiet and calm, aren't you? So they're looking at you going, But if you were kind of looking at them like, I've just pushed you out of my space, then they're still going to have a hard thought because they're going to be a little bit nervous and challenged. So that might bring that aggression back. So basically, when you snap a hard thought out of a horse, once they've got that little bit of a distraction and then they look back at you, in your mind, I'm a tree, I'm calm. If you want some shade, I'm over here. I'm okay. Are you all right? Nothing happened, you know. Everything's okay. When you're around horses, everything's okay. The other thing is when you're around those horses, and you can practice this around softer horses so you can get good at it before you sort of, you know, step in with him if he makes you nervous. Is, you know, as I said, you're not a sapling, you're a tree. And you know, sometimes just standing and believing in your spot is very important because those horses start to believe that you know where you're standing and you're not going to move. Even when you're walking, I don't look back at my horses going all the time, going, what are they doing? Where am I going? Well, I don't know really. I'm looking at my horse. What's my horse doing? I'm going to educate my horse. Oh, well, he's moving. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to be doing that when I'm around a horse. I'm going to be saying, I'm going to turn left now in my mind, and my left foot steps out and I turn left and I'm just going to take that bit of ground there. That's the bit of ground that I'm going to. And then I might turn right and that's the bit of ground I'm going to go into, and I'm going to stop and this is my ground right here. Every time I'm moving somewhere, I'm moving to take my ground, and I'm thinking about the ground that I'm going to, not if my secondary focus is there to tell me that the horse is, you know, getting a bit anxious. But my primary intention is I'm going to that next bit of ground calmly because my horse is a little bit anxious. So I'm going to step calm when I step over there. My horse is getting lost and it's really thinking strong over there. So I'm going to step with a strong direction in the opposite direction so the horse knows that I'm going in a new direction. And I make that decision like a horse makes a decision. They're going towards their thoughts, not having their thoughts worrying about the mob here while they're walking over here. And I think that's very important when we're around our horses, especially horses that sort of start to challenge us a little, because it shows that we're very confident in our decisions and we're not going to hang around and worry about that horse and what it's going through. And I'm not saying I'm not worrying about what the horse is going through, but just to look like we make confident decisions makes that horse go, hang on a minute, they're really confident. I'd like to go with them and I feel good around them because they don't push me around, but yet they feel like they're confident. So in being a tree, that's part of becoming the tree that moves. You know, you're not just standing there being a tree. Then when you move, you're kind of like fractured. You're moving your foundation around, and that's a strong foundation. And once you can kind of stand that around those aggressive horses, they really start to pick up on that. But just recapping quickly, if you're in there and a hard thought happens, strengthen, grow your roots into the ground, distract that thought. But when that thought comes round, you're standing there calm. And he's going to test it again. He might test it again and you just might go change that thought and he'll pop and soften and, okay, before you start to sort of push him. Because he's been pushed and pushed a bit, that maybe that will bring out the dominance and cause a bit of a, you know, hey, you want to challenge me? Are you tough enough yet? So maybe build up your strength first and your foundation, and before you start to go back to maybe try an education on him. But just being around him and things like that. When you're around the other mare, he's trying to say, you're not part of the herd, and maybe that's what was happening. I'm with this mare now and I maybe don't want you in there or something. She's mine and I might take her away, or I don't want you here. And that's the you know, he's starting to treat you a little like a horse, I suppose, when he does things like that. But he's still stuck between human and horse in his mind. That's why it seemed a bit like bipolar or something like that. But yeah, practice those things and just see how you go. And that's really important. And for a lot of horses that are aggressive, I found just being like that and changing and trying to just be a little bit more centered in our spot, changing hard thoughts, respecting a horse's bubble when we're around them, we'll change a lot of that aggressive behavior, because we're actually listening to them, but we don't sway in the wind either. Thanks, Tony. It's a common thing. And just quickly on that, as I'm going to the next question, I have had people talk to me about, okay, I went out in the paddock and my horse chicaned at me with its teeth bared like it was going to run over the top of me. And why'd that happen? What was all that about? And I said, well, what was the pass with the horse? And they said, well, it was a bit hard to catch. And I said, well, how'd you get him easy to catch? They said, well, I put him in a round yard, ran him around a bit till he hooked on, and then, you know, got him so I could go out in the paddock and hook on and I could catch him. And then one day I just went out and he just tried to mow me down. Well, that's a typical scenario of someone tried to play the alpha game, but they're a little bit fractured. And then one day the horse said, I've had enough. You push me away like that. And I see through that, you know, that sort of pretend to be a bully thing, and I see you're a little bit fragile around me, and I'm going to challenge that. And that horse decided to run at them. And I've heard that a few times, and it makes me realise that, you know, if you're going to step up and play that game, you've got to be pretty tough to match it. So I say, don't play that game. Get your horse to be happy around you, not feel that you're dominating. So next question is Norma. Hi, Mark. I'm really struggling with my 2-year-old gelding. I cannot get him to move or even lead now. I have done away with the lunge whip. The flag isn't helping neither. The only way I can get his attention is the lunge whip. This morning, I had to revert to the lunge whip to get him to move his feet over, to move his feet. Otherwise, he plants them firmly. My yearling is doing much better than he is. Of course, I only used the lunge whip once with her, and then I found your way. So we will walk past. So she will walk past my shoulder, and I can cast her away to a certain degree. But she's getting it. Is there a way that I can use the lunge whip with my 2-year-old somehow to wean him off it? I do exactly what I do with the yearling. So I think I am doing it somewhat right. Okay, Norma, with that question. There is some horses that come to clinics that are really resilient in the lead, and they've had flags, and you know they're kind of like in a human environment. So you could do a backflip, shaking a flag like a mad woman, and that horse would just go, what's that? Okay, so the flag's got to a stage the horse can block it out, and it causes no discomfort to the environment to cause the horse to search. So I can understand that sometimes the flag's not going to work, and you jumping up and down is not going to work, and pulling on the lead, the horse just kind of, right now. So obviously the horse is stimulated by the lunge whip, and that could be, you know, so I'm not sure how you're using the lunge whip to get your horse aware. So if you can bang that whip on the ground, then you don't need a flag. If you can bang that whip on the ground and that horse goes, oh, I'm awake, well, there you go. You don't need a flag. It just... The other thing is, if you have to touch the horse with the lunge whip and sort of tap it to get it to sort of move, then that's okay. But I'm going to kind of give you an idea to get your horse thinking forward, because one of the most common ways to get a horse leading is you have it leading here and you're leading it, but then over here in this hand, you've got a lunge whip back here, sort of, you know, chasing up the hip kind of thing, if you can kind of understand that. So people kind of stay at that and they go, oh yeah, my horse, you know, after 2 or 3 taps on the hip, the horse learned to come forward and it leads. And then it's almost like the horse starts to associate, well, when they pick up the lead and step forward, I've got to move forward, otherwise the stick's going to touch me on the bottom. And the problem with just doing that is a lot of horses just learn it as a cue. When she picks up, she might chase me with that stick, so I'm going to move first. But when they want to pull back out of a float, or they suddenly go, I don't want to move forward, all of a sudden they lean back on the lead and they go, you've never taught me to search in the lead. So that's why if I had a really, really tough horse, like you seem to be saying, that you can't get it to sort of think, then maybe I might go to tapping that horse on the hip and using a bit of drive from behind to get it to come forward to that feel, just to sort of start it. But I'm going to have a series of things to know, and because I know I've started the horse like that, I'm going to make sure that I wean it off very carefully, like you said, so it's thinking forward and learning not to pull back. So leading is not just getting a horse to lead up and come with us. Leading is teaching a horse not to pull back. So the way I do it, it's as people may have seen, is when I put that flag in front of them and they push a little and they step up, they go, oh, I don't push back. And then they learn to lead after they've learned not to push back. And that's a better way, because you'll throw a rope over a rail and they won't move because they know not to pull back. So they've learned two things in the one lesson. And that's why I put that little bit of anxiety in front of them, so they think forward and look forward. And then they might look forward and go, what's that? Step back, whoop, come forward. So that's obviously not working with your horse. So what I would say is I would maybe have the lunge whip, and I'd have my horse, you know, out on the end of the lead there, like, you know, pick up a feel. And before you teach that horse to pass by at the shoulder, there's no point doing it if the horse can't lead. If the horse is stuck all the time and you can't offer a feel left or right or anything like that, then what's going to happen is you're going to go, I can't lead my horse past me, I'm going to have to chase it. So if I've got a really stuck horse in the lead, then I'm going to say, lead really well with behind me, beside me, on this hand, behind me, on this hand, you know, till the horse is floating soft, you know, walk, floats into trot, things like that. And then I might do a little close in hand leading where the horse just goes, rocks backwards and forwards till it's really soft. Just, you know, leading in hand softly. So back to the stick idea. If the lunge whip works, then what I do with those horses, I might pick up a feel and they're going to set, roll their eyes back and go, I'm just shutting down on that feel here, righto. And then I'll tap the lunge stick out on the ground in front of me, and they might see it and go, no, I'm shutting down to that too. Yep, you're just tapping that on the ground. And then I might take a tap out here and I might tap it out to the side, and then they might go, oh, hang on a minute, where's that going? And then I might just take it out there and tap there, and then quietly I might just bring it round back and just on their hip. And I might just go tap, tap on their hip, and they'll step up and go, oh, righto, that was a bit different. And then I'll start that again. I'll pick up a feel on the rope. I'll tap it out in front, the stick. I'm not going to do a lot of walking and moving. I don't want that horse to just think, I'm going to avoid head pressure by following you. So I'll stand and let the horse figure this out through the lead. I'll stand there. I'll tap the stick here, out there, and just work my way around till I get to the hip and go tap, tap on the hip, and the horse will go, whoop, step up. The reason I start in the front is the horse goes, I know you did that, then it ended up here, here, and then it ended up coming and giving me a little tap on the hip. So after a while, it'll push its ears forward and go, that stick tapped out there, I know what's going to happen, it's going to come around here, and then I'm going to step up. So it steps up. So basically, if you do it the way where you just start at the hip and keep it at the hip and just motivate it from the hip, a lot of those horses lead up, sort of trot up a bit like this with their ears back, and they never actually go whoop and lead up nice and how you'd like, and when you want them to lead into a float and look at the horse float, because it's always come from behind. So that's why I always started in front. So the horse goes, that thing that kind of motivated me started in front, and then it worked its way around, and then I moved up. So after a while it looks at it and it knows what's going to happen, because when it gets back there it's going to step up. So it steps up when it sees you tap the first tap on the ground. The idea though, this is not a liberty lesson, so you have to be very careful that it is a feel that's really presented on that horse's head to say, come up. It has to be feel. You don't want to start going, look, I've got a stick, and the horse steps up before the rope, while the rope's still loose, because then the horse will have never learnt not to pull back. So very important. And that might be a way, and then I'd lead the horse a lot. I won't even talk about getting it to lead past yet. There are other ways to get a horse to look out, and you know, there's some videos that I've taken that'll be up, some this month that we've just put on, and some of the rest of it where the owner comes in and does it, of some really nice liberty lessons to get a horse to think a little, the horse is really stuck on us and focused but knows how to run away. So there's things like that we're putting on that'll give you some ideas on how to look away, getting those horses to really look away good and go towards their thoughts. But it's difficult to do. So it takes a little bit of time and understanding, and if we revert just to giving up and driving, sometimes we never quite get the thoughts to leave correctly. So yeah, just work on coming around with that stick, tap, step up, and work that till that horse can do it from both sides, and then you don't need the stick. And then after you don't need, you haven't used the stick, you've taken the stick away, basically what you want to do is say, how many hundreds of times can I present that lead, and you can just loosen up and trot, and you've really got those horses that are really stuck. You've really got to, every time you lead them from the paddock and go somewhere, you've got to stimulate transitions in their mind, you know, slow down, speed up, stop, speed up. with that lead until 100%, no questions asked. The horse will float along with that lead, and then they're a little bit ready to do other education with. But often leading is never done enough. Megan, thanks for the rope info a while back. My question is about Milo. He has a worry cup that starts to feel when I approach with saddling tack and then grows from there. I've been doing some short rides with my husband and it can be like riding a loaded spring that thankfully hasn't popped. Yeah, but it's worse riding a loaded spring. You don't know when it's going to pop. Sometimes when once they pop, if you kind of know what it's going to be like, but then if they pop too big, it's not good. So, yeah, but there's nothing worse than riding in the eye of a cyclone, not knowing what it's going to be like when it hits, kind of thing. But it's not a pleasant feeling. Recently we did some work in the paddock before riding out alone, closing the door when his thoughts left, back up, reward with a rest, and he seems a little better. Still very looky when out, but the cup wasn't as full. A couple of times he stops and gets fixated on something that won't go forward. Energy puts him in reverse. So I stop him, let him look, I breathe out, then I do a combination of energy turn, close the door, closing until the thoughts change and he goes forward. This seems to happen mainly on the way home. Am I doing the right thing? On the way home, that's interesting, isn't it? That I'll just read that a little bit again. It's interesting it happens on the way home. It's just the way out, the horse goes, oh, I can't cope, I'm a bit nervous. And so, yeah, Megan, it's a hard one without being there and watching every single thing that he's doing, but something we practice, and I've talked about this a lot, on other live talks, and also, at clinics and stuff, is, you work on boundaries. So you've got a boundary that, that might be the area around the yards that your horse is comfortable. When your horse goes out this far away from the yards, the horse is getting anxious. Here's a piece of paper. I'll draw a little diagram if I can find a pen here. So there's the happy with the H in the middle. And then I'm going to draw like a bullseye. So you can, it's a bit shiny. Everyone can see that bullseye. So that will be home or the happy place. That will be where the horse first gets anxious, and that will be when the horse gets even more anxious. Now, basically, we want to turn that into a H and that into a happy, those places there. And you might be riding around here and you might go out here, he gets a little nervous, fixates. Then you might break his thought a little, come back into here, and then you might take him out there. He fixates a little, break his thought a little, come back into here, ride him back out here. He fixates, come back into here. And then all of a sudden he gets around in here and he can go out in this area here. And he's pretty good because he knows you're taking him back. He's going and comes out here and goes, oh, this is pretty good, I can do that. And all of a sudden he goes out there. Now this area here starts to become more of a comfortable area further from home. So you don't always have to go back from home and just do this all the time. You can come back to here and say, now we'll come back into here. Let's go out here, fixate, break his thought, come back into here. It might mean if by the sounds of it, and I know Milo reasonably well because I had him here, some years ago, is I think he's just not coping with some things, and he's just kind of not thinking he can do it on his own. Maybe there's a little lack of connection on under saddle that you might have on the ground that you don't have under saddle, so he's feeling a little bit more on his own. That's why he's acting like that. Even with the other horse, he still maybe just thinks he just can't cope with someone on his back. So what I would try and do is just try that, so fixates, just bring him back to a place that he feels a little more relaxed and head out. And I know it's sort of going back over old ground, but you have to experiment with it to see if it actually gets him confident enough to walk out on his own. So the idea is once, you shouldn't, like, when you look at that, if you point him in this direction, you shouldn't have to make him go that way. You shouldn't be kicking him along, okay? He should just walk out looking over there when he gets anxious, and then, as I said, that becomes the H. Then there's another boundary here becomes the H, and that's the happy place. Okay, so he actually doesn't have to go all the way home, but he knows he's done it there, he can do it, and you might still bring him home. But you're showing the horse, you bring them home and you take them out. That's really a good thing. So basically you just, you know, work on that again, see if it works. Megan, you're on there. Yes, correct, he doesn't cope. So maybe see if just bringing him back, settling him back in a place where he's a bit calmer and taking him out again works on getting his confidence at going, so he goes further on his own. And that, once you've done that experiment for a few times, you'll know that the wheels are falling off and he needs to go back to a place he feels safe and then try again until he starts to go along with you a bit more connected. Now remember, you're breaking his thought. If you break a horse's thought, it's not just to kind of distract him only to get worried about something else. In our training in the yards, in our training out, the reason you're breaking a horse's thought is to make him feel better. So after a backup, he settles and centers. After you bring him out of that sort of unhappy place back to a little bit of a happy place, you've turned his anxiety through the rein into a new direction that took him somewhere where you could settle him, where he feels safe. So every time you take a rein and every time you guide him, it's a pathway to him feeling a little better with you and connecting with you a little bit. So you're kind of working on that principle that he starts to cope a little better with you. There are times that if he kind of gets a little nervous, you can get off him and on him again. You can get off him, center him, get on him again, and just do little things that break his thought, make him feel okay with you, put more trust in you. And then over time, he might just travel out with you. In regarding the turns and the energy and stuff like that, sometimes when a horse is fixated, instead of bumping, I don't bump because I know the legs may not work, okay? What I would do is I'd just use my reins just to sort of just wiggle him a little off here, wiggle him a little off here, get him to walk a little, and then just trying to just, you know, he might walk back a little, that's okay. Don't try and put him out in the direction that you want to go but he doesn't want to go. So the horse at this last clinic, that particular horse was really stuck and wouldn't go forward with the legs, and it was almost like you could have said it was shut down, but I don't believe it was shut down because it could be looking over at other horses, just blocking out, like it had just built up a thick skin. But when it changed, it was like, ka-ping, I'm just walking out over here like a normal horse. So it was really funny to watch this horse, but this young girl that was riding it, she was only 13 or 14, and she did a really good job, but we basically just worked on breaking his thought through the reins, because when he was either, he'd not go, and then when he did go, if he wanted to run for home, he'd just run through the rein and just keep running. So instead of using the legs to make him go, we use the reins to make him go and break his thoughts with the reins, because if you can't break his thoughts with the reins when he's standing still, well, you don't have any hope of doing it when he's running. So instead of using the legs to get him to go when he didn't want to go, we use the reins to get him to go and the reins to get him to slow, in a sense, because it was just breaking his thought, not getting him to go faster in the reins, I mean just breaking his thought, so he decided, I'm going to move off over here and just lead him off with the reins. And that means we've got more transitions with the reins and we didn't kick him and wear out the accelerator. But Megan, I'd go back to that little kind of bullseye thing and try and figure out how far he can go before the wheels fall off, bring him back. And in 1 hour, you could do a lot of mini trail rides that slowly get you further out and see if he copes a little better, and maybe work on that a little till he knows that, oh, right, I can go with her and she's looking after me and, you know, let's go together. And then he goes further. It might have to go back to that and just see how things go. Anyway, I'll move along, but I think try that and might give you some help. Karen, I've just started working with my mare. Okay, I'll just go through the big question. I've just started working with my mare, Star. She was started under saddle about 3 years ago, but has only had short 10 to 15 minute rides every 6 months or so since. She has always been pretty calm, but since Hayden's passing last month, the herd dynamics have naturally changed. She is still pretty chilled for the most part, but I decided to go back to the beginning for both our sakes. Long story short, I discovered yesterday that when tying her to the gate on the round yard, that one, if she gets really frightened, she runs. When she hits the end of the rope, she is frightened, she panics. I have been tying her solid the whole time. I've had her with no issues under normal circumstances. I don't have either of these issues. I don't have either of these issues and given I haven't done a lot with her previously, it hasn't come out. I've had her nearly 6 years. We do have a good bond, but I want to strengthen that. So if she gets scared, she looks to me as opposed to needing to run and fight. I know the bond will come in with time. How do I get her better with not needing to fight against the holder and lead wrap? With Hayden, and I'm sorry for you about Hayden, because I met him, he's a nice horse. But with her, dynamics have changed and there's a bit more worry in her, you know, and things will settle down with her again in that sense, in the herd dynamics and things like that. But lead pressure is something that, you know, I can hard tie a horse, but then all of a sudden it pulls back and things like that. The pullback was always probably in there, and it was just took something for the horse to test it. So this is a good question that sort of goes in with the first question. Leading is a big problem, and tying up is a big problem with horses. So there's a couple of things you can do. One of them is very quietly teach the horse to search in pressure. So what I mean by that, I'll get my little iPhone rope thingy. So horse, Karen. So Karen, you're gonna have the horse standing here and you move that rope up a little. You'll stand still, so that's your hand. Your body's gonna stay still, because don't walk backwards, because if you walk backwards, the horse might just follow you. And you get to about there where that feels like connective pressure. It doesn't feel like the horse is trapped, but the horse knows that if I step back a couple of centimeters, I'm gonna feel that on my pole, okay? So depending on your horse's level of anxiety, depends on how much stimulant you'll use. So it could be just a little wave of a flag close to the ground that the horse goes, "Ooh, what's that?" and wants to walk back off it. So if you wanted to, you could actually just stand with her quietly for a little bit and just wave the flag on the ground, kind of thing, like that, just like you're sweeping the floor, and stand until she steps. So you'd be waving the flag here, she just steps back off that a little. So you can teach her that without leading, so she knows that she can, if she sees something she's a little anxious about, she can step back a little when there's nothing telling her not to, and that'll teach her that not to freeze her feet. So you might have to work on just, you know, doing something that she just backs off a little bit of, you know, anxiety, just a bit, just enough. You're just doing a bit of a flag, so she goes, "Oh, what's that? I might just step back." You're not getting scary in yourself, you just something that makes sense. And do that until she knows she can back up a little and step back without freezing. Once you've, because some horses, you might do that and they'll just freeze and then they'll explode when you put the pressure on their head. So show her that she can step back a little. Then, once you've done that, then you put then you step out and you have, maybe, I know that between Karen and the horse, there might be, say that distance of rope might be 2 meters, for instance. That's 2 meters is a good distance to have a horse. So if it jumped forward, there's enough room that you're safe. And you might just pick up that feel until the horse just feels it just a little bit, but it's not a trap. And then you do that little flag thing where you stimulate the flag till your horse thinks, "I should step back." Now she'll know the feel's there, so she's got a choice to step back, pull, or maybe go forward to that. What usually happens is they go, "Ooh," and you only put enough stimulant there, so they just back off slow, and then they feel that and they go, "Oh," and that's when she might snap. That's when you know, if she snapped and went, "Oh, I'm gonna run backwards," you might just, you would have to completely just gently stop the flag, even drop it on the ground, and just walk backwards with her while she's stepping back like that. You won't be able to be strong enough to fight her, but then she might just stop a little and step forward. But if you do it quietly, she'll actually just end up doing this one. Oh, 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 oh. So all of a sudden she'll be stepping up to that pressure, and do that a lot. Once she's done that and she can step up to the feel of the rope really softly, then just throw your rope over a rail, a long rope over a rail, and just walk the other way, get her to lead up to a rail. And then you can, off the side of her, both sides, you can create a bit of stimulant so she searches a bit when she feels like she's half tied up, and then just walk her to the rail. So you might have her 3 meters away from the rail, create a bit of stimulant, pull on the lead, she'll walk up to the rail, and just teach her to lead up to a rail. And then from there, you can just sit up on a rail or sit somewhere up there and just have her. and just wait there till she settles. She'll fidget, she'll do things, and just when she knows it, when she's tied up that rail, she settles. Okay, and yeah, work on it. That, so start with the, you know, stepping back to come forward, and then leading up to a rail, and then when you eventually do, sort of think about hard tying it. Don't hard tie. Just put enough wraps that you, it's a firm pull to pull that wrap around the rails, or around one of those, you know, figure eight kind of things that look a bit like the you know, what you do when you're abseiling. You know, you can buy an abseiling figure of eight, or you can buy those horsey ones. And you just, you know, have a slip. So there's a certain amount of slip, and she'll probably go, oh no, she won't pull back. But yeah, work on that. And I think you might have a bit of success with that, because I've always had really good results with teaching them like that. And until they sort of, you know, you just put the weight of the rope somewhere and they're happy to stay with it. Paddy, what steps do I take with a frantic horse to help him refocus? Separation anxiety kicks in when I've been on a ride with a few friends and it's time to load for home. Paddy, San Diego. Thanks, Paddy, for the question. Basically, before you take him on a ride, like I had a question at the dinner table the last night at the clinic, the night before, the next day, where I asked everyone, you know, what do they want to get, how are they going with the information, and, you know, to assess the lessons for the next day. And one of the ladies said, I want to just know that, you know, how to settle my horse when I take him somewhere. So I went back through all the lessons that I did with the horse and offered her with the horse. And I said, so the first lesson was to teach the horse to not be frightened of education, because we were sort of undoing old education, not that she'd done, but prior to her, the horse had a lot of, you know, kind of liberty, kind of sort of round yarding, hooking on, kind of hook on, go this way, hook on, go that way kind of work. We had to undo all that because the horse didn't know how to think for itself, and every time, you know, it saw energy, it got worried, and so it would carry itself in a, you know, in not a very nice way, and get quite anxious. So the horse was frightened of education, so we had to work on that. So I basically went through all the things. But the key to the what we were teaching this horse, and it would be the key to your horses, what we did is, when things get a little big, it doesn't mean you're moving away. So it means that you're refocusing. So what I did with this particular horse in training, I was saying, when I get big with my whatever, that, because when I got big with the flag or bumped the flag, the horse would think that means go around and run around. And I'd tell it that doesn't mean run around, that means focus. If I wanted it to mean run around, I would ask it to run around. But so a lot of horses think that big means I've got to move away, because we've always got bigger to get our horse to move away and sort of smaller to get him to come to us. Whereas the horses, that those horses that are programmed that are to be really worried about, you know, pressure escalating, as soon as pressure escalates, they get anxious. So I get them to refocus. But I'm getting off track there a little bit. So basically, to get your horse to reset, refocus, you're going to practice just in a fairly medium environment, a bit of just getting that horse to kind of, you know, so the horse might gaze, and you might go, gee, that horse looks a little anxious when it gazes. Like one of the horses of this particular thing was a gazer, it just gaze off. So we taught it to look away, to look towards us, to just to break that gaze, whether if we look somewhere else or look towards us, or it doesn't matter, as long as you break the gaze. But with your horse, I think looking towards you and reaching out and sniffing on you is going to say, oh, you made me feel better, because I don't have to think about all those things. So we kind of do that in a fairly calm environment, with enough stimulant and eye things for the horse to look at, that's going to look around. If it goes, whoa, I'm going to gaze at that, and that's keeping me a bit worried, then you go, focus. And you might clap, you might just pop your flag, and the horse looks back at you and says, and then you might just put your hand somewhere, not on it, don't rub it, don't, just stand calm like a tree, and just put your hand out below its nose somewhere and draw it to, like, go, yeah, right, I'll stand here, this is pretty good. And then the horse goes, oh, I'm going off over this, and you go, focus. And the horse will go, oh, back to you. And then after a while, it'll relax a little with you. And then practice going to different stimulating places where the horse gets a little up. Now you're probably going, my horse gets big up and I really want to bring it down. But just to practice this, you might just take it to places that it's safe, but it's just, you know, it's not quite right. and then take it into that sort of, and it's like what I did with, talked about with Megan's lesson. You take that horse, you lead it out here, it gets a little anxious, but before it goes off the rails here, you might go there and it might go, I'm anxious just in this area. So before it gets too big, you go, hey, focus. And the horse goes, okay, reset, thank you, I'm with you. Good, okay, I'm calm. And do a constant lot of those little interruptions till the horse starts to go, oh, I'm just going to melt into you and follow you. This is good, I like it, because I don't have to take all that responsibility of worrying about everything. I'm going to be, thoughts here. Now the saying that I say to everybody is, the closer the horse's thoughts are to their feet, the happier they are. So really important. So yeah, just work on that. And then basically you'll get to a stage that, and sometimes when your horse does get big and you've practiced this, but it still gets big, you've got to be big enough to distract it, as in distraction can't be just, oh, hey, look at the flag, because the horse will go, there's a flag waving, and it's going to send them off their trolley sometimes. So I tend to make it a distraction. It kind of disappears. It comes enough hard enough, it comes sharp enough and intense enough to break that horse out of its focus or what it was fixated on. But it goes away quick enough for that the horse to go, it's calm here. If you're just kind of going, hey, look at this, when your horse is off its dial, it's just going to send it further. So that's the way I'd work on those horses. And online, there's a couple of videos of, not a lot, but there is one of a chestnut horse at a clinic where I use the flag to distract it. And there's also a talk that I've got on how to use flags, which is very good. It just kind of, understanding, how to use a flag, not to just drive them around, but to get them closer to the questions we're asking. I hope that information helps you, and it's always helped. I've had some pretty big horses at clinics and been able to settle them pretty quick because I just redirected their focus. And you'll be surprised how quick it works if you're effective with it. So where are we now? Missy. When I send my young horse on a circle and he does not like to move anymore, he keeps facing me, sometimes over and over. How do I get him to stay on the circle? Thanks. Good question, Missy, and that's kind of the question that everyone asks. When I take away the driving pressure and keep moving them out, they don't know what to do. And it was really interesting, this last clinic, and luckily this horse I've got a fair bit of video footage of his turning around from a horse that runs away with anxiety. So I'm going to give you a liberty example of this particular horse. You put some energy in the air and he just goes zoom, and then you put draw in and he zooms and he faces up, and it's like, man, this horse is really carrying a lot of tension. So we had to get him to think about what he was doing, think softly about what he was doing, leave softly and come in softly. So he just learned to balance. So instead of looking at the person while he's going around the circle or looking over the fence, depending on how anxious he was, he learned to look on the circle, not into the person too much, because he was worried about what we were going to ask him next. And it was kind of an interesting change over, like, from the start to the finish. But what we realized in that horse, though he could kind of run around, he couldn't go past us softly. He was escaping it all the time, and that's why the hardest thing and to really get into for people to understand is, I know it's the horses wanting to face up all the time, and it's easy to step in and kind of chase them out and keep them going, but that never fixes the confidence, because this horse that could go around in circles could not walk past you with confidence. He couldn't even keep you on his bad eye very well. Every time you walk somewhere, he'd always put you on the other side. Yet he could go around, and all that education and confidence was bypassed. So the facing up is such a common thing, and it gets nipped in the butt very quickly by people going, just keep going, stop facing up. So to avoid it, I teach people to teach their horse to lead past them. If they go too quick with the leading past them, they will have the horse face up. So there's two ways I get people to send a horse out. Either will work. One way is get them to look out and think out strong and do like a turn on the hind quarter, move their forequarters out onto where I want them to go, and then go in the circle. Now that's something I build on horses, but something I do on young horses and horses that are really stuck or lack confidence and face up all the time is I just teach them to walk off the side and really get them to walk off the side for a while and get them soft off the side. And then slowly you just get them a little past you and then watch them, watch their confidence. And what'll happen, it'll feel like they're kind of hanging and not wanting to come forward. Then all of a sudden they'll relax and go, yeah, I can deal with this. And you'll see their thoughts just go ahead a little over there past you. And when you see their thoughts kind of look ahead and they just go, yeah, I'm here now, you might just let them dribble out and go and just go for a walk, a straight line. I don't care. Just let them go and just feel like they've just passed you and you're not going to kind of come in and push them and or disengage your hip or do all that. You're just going to get them to walk out and travel. And it people struggle with it, I know, and it's so hard because I think a lot of times we try and just go, Mark says lead them past, and they're trying to lead them past and fling them past them and they're going to keep going. But actually what I do is I lead them for a while until I feel them melt into my hand and melt into the idea that they're beside me and they're comfortable and they can look at me soft with that eye. And then once they can carry on that eye, then they can carry at the shoulder and then they can go further. But you've got to be fairly rigid in that arm and walk straight for a while so you're not sort of facing them or getting close to them, and then they lead past. And then just you let them go and let them walk out on a straight line. Don't think about the circle. Think about, I'll go to my little picture here. So that looks like a circle, doesn't it? Okay, so say if, for instance, you're in the middle and the horse is going around you, you're actually going to teach that horse to do this. I'll show you in a second. So see those two lines I've put in there? Is I go, my horse won't leave. And then it goes in a straight line. And then a straight line would get it to that circle. And then eventually it goes in a straight line to that circle. So you're actually just teaching your horse to walk a straight line. And then at some point after it gets confidence at walking away and thinking away a little, you might redirect it onto a corner and then another straight line. So ultimately you end up doing squares for a little while or anything like that, not circles. And then once your horse is confident at passing by, walking out on a straight line and then coming around the corner, eventually you draw a circle. And then the horse has learned how to steer before it does a circle. A lot of people do the circle before they taught their horse how to steer. And that's the problem. You get a lot of horses that either hook in too much on the circle and the rein's all floppy and you've got no control. The only way to get them wider is kind of drive them out, and that doesn't teach them anything. That just teaches them a liberty lesson. And there's nothing wrong with liberty, but if you've got a rope on their head, there is, because the rope is there to teach them to steer. So when you ride them, they know how to steer. So yeah, work on softening, and the horse thinks ahead itself, and then you let it travel with that thought. I know that's hard to read for, but it's not, because you'll see the horse feel stuck and then it goes ka-chink. Whoa. Now, I've been trying this, but the only time he walks past is when his thoughts are on grass. Okay. Glad you threw that one in there, because I'm going to throw another thing in this equation. I will use a flag. So when I'm teaching a horse to walk past me that's very dull and doesn't want to break his thought, and the lead rope makes them sort of heavy and dull, is I'll have the flag in my hand and I'll have the horse out here and I'll bang myself on the leg when the horse is a bit leany and a bit sort of lost, and then it'll loosen up in my hand and then I'll just let it travel. And I'll just use that flag and after a while that horse will loosen and travel softer, more energy. So when that horse is walking beside me, I'm asking to walk with me in my hand, nice and soft and with a bit of energy, not just drawling along. And then I get that horse really thinking and thinking. And then when it's thinking, I know it's not just kind of like, And then once it's thinking and it's kind of light and energetic in my hand, then I just gently let it pass by and pass through, and that'll help them a lot. And then if they're too fixated on something out there and they get locked on and you pull the lead and they just won't come back, well, you've got that flag to say, I've asked for the lead, and you might pop it and they'll go, well, what was that? And you'll just distract them back and you'll say, now find the turn and go somewhere else. And that just might help direct the attention back to you if they're really fixated on things like grass and other horses, and you find that every time you pull them, you're just causing a brace. Maybe just get their attention a little stronger on you before you do the turn, and that might be popping the flag. Even if you might be 10 metres away from the horse, you might be 5. But it just gets them to look back. Sometimes I'll turn around, that's fine. You just go back and ask them past again. So yeah, I hope that helps. It is a little difficult, and it's easy just to get on and chase them. But if you get that chasing thing wrong, if you can use driving pressure to direct their thoughts and make them feel good, then do it. But it's not that easy. Most times if I just say, just get in and move it out, I go back and I visit that person, that horse is looking at the pressure, moving out there away from the pressure, not thinking about what it's doing, and I don't agree with that. I think the horse has to be thinking about what it's doing to be in balance. It has to be thinking out, stepping out, and then thinking on the circle, and then thinking on the straight line, not just going, oh yeah, yeah, right, I look back at them all the time and they're going to carry me around. All those horses that have been carried around, looking at the person, looking at the energy, looking at everything, have got way too much draw and not enough confidence in thinking out. So when they ride out, they just, the wheels fall off. So it's not the right balance. The right balance is thinking somewhere softly, thinking towards us softly. It's an equal balance, not too much draw in groundwork. Draw feels good. People like draw, but they focus on draw too much. They don't focus on how to think somewhere softly, and you'll be surprised how confident you can get a horse if you teach it to think in different directions. I'm sorry, Karen, I want to answer your second question, but I'm going to go through the questions. I might have to leave the second one because we've already got one question in there. I don't like to do that. I'd like to answer all the questions, but... I have two horses, one in one paddock. I can manage to get the horse's focus, the one with me, but the one left behind gets quite upset. I'll answer this one quickly. It's one I've answered before, but what I would do is I would work your horse in the paddock with that horse, take it out a little bit and bring it back. Don't let it get into a stressed state and hope that it's going to get better. Just rework your horse just outside the paddock and then bring the horse back and let the horse settle with it and go. Just like taking a horse that's stressed away from the herd, you're just leaving the one there that's stressing. If you go away and it just gallops up and down and has a frantic fit when you're over there and then eventually you come back, that horse will remember yesterday it went it was frantic, and then maybe that'll never fix that separation anxiety. So if you haven't got anything else, basically, the other thing you can do is if the horse is a bit feed orientated, put a biscuit of hay out, work your horse not far from that horse, let it be thinking about the hay a little bit, come back again. The only problem with the hay, when it's finished, the horse will stress. So the hay is just like bypassing its thoughts. So it might give you a bit of refuge and a bit of sort of, you know, time to work your horse without the other one stressing. But yeah, as I say, once the horse, something else happens, the horse will get off the hay and stress even, you know. So what I would tend to do is I'd work the horse outside the paddock so the horse is still there with it, show it that you're going to bring it back, and then leave it. And then, and it's a difficult way to do it and it takes a bit of time, but you'll take that horse, you know, your horse back to it and say, there you go, and then you'll take it away again and bring it back and slowly wean that horse, like not wean it off, but you're showing that horse that I'll take it away and I'll bring it back, and you can cope. You've just coped that small one, and then that time and that distance gets a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger, and we go back to what the little picture I drew for Megan at the start. I drew that one, okay? So you're eventually saying, I'm going to take this horse, work it there, put it back before this horse stresses, and then here and then here. And then eventually that horse knows you're going to bring it back. It stayed quiet, nothing's happened to it, and it gets better at coping. It's almost like when you jump off a diving board, okay, or... imagine a diving board or teaching yourself to jump on the ground from a platform and do a bit of a roll so you don't, you know, wreck your knees and your back. You might jump off a meter and then you jump off not 2 meters, you jump off a meter 10 and then a meter 20 and a meter 30 until you can jump off 2 meters and 3 meters and land on the ground and do a sort of a commando roll and go, wow, I can do that. You wouldn't just go to 3 meters. You'd have to start, and that's like the horse in the paddock. Try that and see if the horse realizes that because it hasn't stressed, it's been safe, and the horse always comes back. It starts to settle on its own. That's or just go and ride your horse and leave the other one loose with you and let it follow you around. It's not gonna hurt. It'll be good education as long as you're not going up the Hume Highway or something like that. Just my last question here from Sue. What do I do if my horse stalls on trail when riding alone? I suspect it's a matter of confidence for him. He tries to go left. He goes willingly beside me when he's leading. Big difference when you're on their back. So something in your ground schooling you can do is get them to lead out front and work from the hip a little more and do little trail rides not trail rides, but leading lessons where you're following him from the hip, and that'll sort of get them a little bit better at carrying you and thinking ahead with you behind them. The other thing I'd be looking at is don't use your legs to get him to go forward. And don't keep all the doors closed. Like basically, it's not about keeping all the doors closed. So the little horse was really stuck at this last clinic, really stuck. I mean, he just fall asleep. And so we just kept taking on that rein till he stepped across here, and taking on this rein till he stepped across here. And then eventually you'd see his brain go ka-chink. And say, for instance, we wanted him to go that way. He wanted to go that way. So if he went this way, that was okay. And then he'd start to fold back like that. And we go, well, no, try and turn around this way. And he'd go like that, then he'd come back like that. And then after a while, he started to go, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to try that. And then you just let him go. But each way you're kind of letting him go, you've got to say every direction like that is okay. But then it takes a little while. And when he got really stuck, because he got so dead in the legs over the years, that we just used those reins just to break his thought, not kick him. And when he was really had a nice forward thought, she'd squeeze him up and go into a trot and canter and away he went. And we were trying to work on the only time I'm going to use my legs is when you're interested in listening to them and it's going to be a good idea, not a bad idea. So that's when we use the legs. So, so basically if you're not kicking him to go that way, he's going to start to go, oh, I've got some confidence. And this wiggling backwards and forwards helps them look at different things. And also what you can do is go back, like I said, with that bullseye kind of picture. You go back a little where he feels safe and out again. So you get a little bit of a going forward in the direction that's against his want a little bit, but you don't go too far. You come back again and try again and come back again and try again till this starts to happen. You know, he gets further. Because the more he goes in that direction and back and changes that, that's the switch you want to change, going back this way to this way. That's the switch there. And you want to change that switch a lot of times. Think back to home, think away. Think back to home, think away. Think back to home, think away. And then once he goes, I can think away, then he'll go further away. When he gets the wheels start to fall up here, come back again. And then just work on that for a little while. So it's kind of the same as sort of Megan's question. Megan's question, sorry, about backwards and forwards. And that gives them confidence in thinking away. When the cyclist appears, startles my horse and he isn't sure what to do. He starts jumping around. He's looking to me for help, but I'm not walking beside him on the ground. He can't see me. I'm on his back. What do I do? Well, if you do a one rein stop like you just asked there, if you can bend his head around and let him kind of sniff on you and relax, then do it. I'm not a big fan of doing too much bending without balance, because all I get at clinics is horses that are bent without balance. And like, I get a young horse that hasn't been taught that, and they start to balance really nicely in the reins. And I get a horse that's been taught lateral flexion for years and just been done too much of it. And I really hard to get them to balance and reprogram themselves that they can be more collected and work more from their hindquarter and stay light in the shoulders. But if you got a horse that's really anxious, I'm just going to tip their thoughts around a little, like a one rein stop, and get them to sniff on me and say, oh, I'm up here. If that helps them, I would encourage that most definitely, because by the sounds of it, that's a bit of a problem and you want to fix that first. The other thing is when a horse knows how to balance and steer correctly in the reins, then basically those reins mean change your thought, new direction, reset. So they become very effective at breaking a hard thought, redirecting their thoughts, so the horse gets a lot softer. And that's why I encourage lots of good balanced turns on horses, so you can sort of redirect them and make them feel better. But if getting them to sort of bend around and look at you helps, and just so you can reassure him, even if it's just putting a hand on his neck, that's really good. And something you might do is, you know, do a lot of riding out, testing him a little, getting him on him, off him, re-center him a little with you, get on him again and say, I'm still here, see? And practice that a lot too. When you get on him, when you first ride him, always make sure he's with you and centered, and he walks off with you knowing that you're up here to make him feel better right when the ride starts. And all those things, it'll start to recognize that no matter where you are, you're still there. Oh, Oh, yeah, lastly, this question is for everybody, reinsmanship. More and more, I've been trying to get videos that I've been educating different horses about different ways of helping their horses balance and things like that. So online, I will be putting more videos up of reinsmanship. There's a few videos up there, some of the Fern videos of teaching her how to follow her direct and indirect rein, things like that. You'll find a little bit about the rein. Some of the banjo rein stuff is also good. There's videos out there, that a lot of the riding videos that you'll see, I'll be talking about reins. There's a little one about Gracie, a little buckskin horse. If you look that one with Gracie, I'm wearing a green shirt and I'm riding in a halter, just talking about, you know, teaching her to start finding her lateral work through the reins and things like that. So it's out there, and there will be some more advanced stuff that I'll put on over time. Once I get into Marvel a little bit more and work him, I'm going to start to sort of, you know, build his foundation through the reins. And yeah, but there is videos, especially Fern, Gracie, there's some ones there that you'll start to learn about using the reins without having to, you know, back them up with your legs all the time. But thanks everyone for coming on board, and I'm running a little bit over time now. But anyway, thank you, and I'll talk to you. I'm going to be in the Sunshine Coast for nearly a fortnight, so whether I'll be talking to you from the Sunshine Coast for our next talk, I'm not sure. But I'll talk to you all then. And yeah, thanks for all your good questions. Bye.